Okay, we're picking up two lines from the top of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Our learning is once again sponsored. Le'ilu Nishma Shulam Mispas Yaakov Neshama Shad Valiya. The Gemara is discussing, continuing the discussion of using a slave as different types of collateral. So Tanur Rabbanan Gavo B'chovo. If a non-Jew here, he didn't actually use it as collateral, but the non-Jew, he forcibly collected the slave in payment of a debt that was due. O Shalaku Sikrikin. Sikrikon, I never pronounced it properly. That's going to come later on Daphne and Hay. The Brice is talking about a time where there was non-Jews who would just take over property and kill Yidden left and right, probably the Roman times. So he would say to them, take my land, take my slaves, anything to get rid of them. So in those examples, the slave does not go free, since the Ado never consented to taking giving over the slave to the non-Jew. So therefore, that is not the Knas Derabanan that makes what we require him to go free. But the Gemara says, what do you mean? If you do it in regards to a debt that was due, the slave is not set free or aminu, but we have a following halacha in the Braisa, Aresha, unto Beisa Melech Grono. If that the Melech was forcibly taking, he was coming to the field of a Jew, to the Beisa Goren, right, the granary, so then the halacha is, im bechovo chayav l'asya. The halacha is, if he's paying him off with his debt, with his fruit, so then he would have to take off Meisa on account of that produce. Inbound perios patim la'aser. But if it's collected that it was just a net loss upon the yid, he was just taking it for his own needs, so then he's not obligated to separate meiser on account of giving it to the non-Jew. So from the advice we see, though, in the first halacha, that if something is forcibly taken from the Jew as payment of his chov, it is viewed as if it had been, in fact, sold. And therefore, you have to separate meiser, because it is as if he voluntarily sold it to the goy. So the previous brisa told us that if the slave is forcibly taken as payment of a debt, the slave is not viewed as had been sold, and therefore we assume that the adon doesn't have to free the slave. But over here, we view that it is as if it's viewed as voluntarily. So there's a stira between the two brises. So the Gemara says, Shani Hasam. No, we can make the difference between the case of where they confiscate the property and you're paying him, because the Jew is profiting by the amount that would have been designated as meiser, meaning that the total amount of the payment is owed for the debt, and you're paying it off, so that normally, if I had my normal proportions, I have 100 apples, I have to take off 10% for my serisha, my serisha, and take another 10%, right? Take off those amounts. So, therefore, when he's confiscating it, you're gaining those amounts that would have been taken off, those roughly 20 apples that you're giving, is going to be considered something which you're benefiting from, therefore you have to repay that amount. When it comes to the slave, though, when it goes back to our case, the first price, so as payment of a loan, he's not enjoying any overall gains at all, Rashi says. Therefore, we assume that he did not sell him voluntarily, and therefore he's not penalized by, we don't say that you forced the Adon to make him go free. So the Gemara says, Tashma, so we could bring another raya to this. Damar Rav told us, Amocher Avdel le Parhan. We have interesting Lashonos over here. Ovid Gachavim, Parhan Ovid Gachavim, Yatza Lecheres. The Lach is, if you sell him, probably pronouncing that word wrong, that to the parhang oved kachavim, to the person who Rashi says it's like you blackmail a Jew, he was blackmailing you, so you gave the slave to he had false claims against you and is blackmailing you, so then you give him the slave to avoid that. So the lach is yatzal lechiris, the slave there goes free. So that's an answering to our question over here. So the Gemara says that, so the Gemara says hazam avilei lefayis. There, in the case of Rav, you could have done anything. What do you have to do? You have to make to get this guy out, to get this guy's blackmailing you and bribe him. So who says that you have to appease him in the way of giving over your slave? Lopius, you could have appeased him in any other which way, which you decided not to do. You decided to voluntarily give your slave when you had other property that you could have given. So that's what's assumed over here. But in the case that is of the Braisa, where he's forcibly being extorted by the Sikikin or whatever like that, Chora, you have to assume, the Rishonim point this out, the Ritva, others, that would be the case, that you would have to have assumed that there was no other property or anything else you could have given him equivalent that he would have taken. And the only thing he was willing to take was the Eved. If it had not been the case, then an Echanami, then according to Rav, what comes out is that Pashut is considered something which is which you're voluntarily doing. We assume that Rav isn't arguing on that price, so that's how you would explain the two halachas. Now the Gemara goes Vaiter Gufa. So now going back to the halacha of Rav. The Rav said, Amar Rav, Amokher Avdullah Farang, Ovikucham Yatel Cheirus. The person's blackmailing you, the slave goes free. So the Gemara points out the my avid el avid. What could he have done? Why did he penalize him? So the Gemara says avid el fayes v'lo pies, that he could have appeased him in a different manner, and he didn't, and therefore the halacha is that it goes free. So what comes out is that if you're designated as collateral, as we see in yesterday's daf, then the halacha is that that it's immediately the slave said the slave free, even if it was not taken by the lender. If the slave was not designated as collateral, so then it would depend if you had other things or not. Then it would, if you had other things, then you also have to set him free. If not, then you would not have to set the Eved free. So the Gemara says, "Biter birmiya machro l'shloshim yoma." What is the halacha if he sold to the non-Jew? He sold him to the Eved Chavim for 30 days. What's the halacha about this slave? So the Gemara says, "Tashma." We learn a proof. Amar Rav. Rav says, "Hamoicher avdo leparang Eved Chavim yatzal lecheros." You sell him, he goes free. So Rav is talking about a case where lechora he'd be returned because the slave was taken to do some work, and the king apparently, when he needed something being done, he would then return the person afterwards. So that's mamish our case, and yet Rav says that you have to set him free. So we see that even a limited time is something which obligates you to free him. So the Gemara says, no. Who says that the king was going to be blackmailing you to just a one-time usage for something that he needed, like a construction project? No, he actually required him to be forever, that he was never returning. If someone sold his slave without the rights to his work, what's the halacha over there? Meaning the seller was stipulating that the Oved Kechavim may not work the slave. So in such a case, the slave is only for the purpose of fathering slave children through having a with as a Shevchakranis. So the Gemara is wondering that maybe you shouldn't be penalized because you cannot force him to work and violate Isserim Midoresa. That's the Shiloh over here. And the Gemara asks another question. What if you say that you're not allowed to make him violate any halachas? He's allowed to, right? He's like in a workplace, right? Not just workplace. You're allowed him to keep the halachas. That is also okay. Chutz mishabbos yom tovim. What about Shabbos and Yantiv? He said that he may not force the slave to work on Shabbos and Yantiv. So Ger Toshav the Mumar Yisrael Mumar Mara. What about if you sell him to a Ger Toshav? A Ger Toshav will accept upon himself to keep the Shabbos mitzvahs from Noach, but he's not a yid. So maybe there he won't necessarily violate halachas, or maybe he'll respect it, maybe not. Maybe it is like selling him to a non-Jew. Or Yisrael Momar, Yisrael who doesn't keep any halachas, name of Chal Shabbos for Hesya, he's somebody who completely gave up on the faith. So, Lakusi Ma, what about a Kusi? What's the halacha with regards to a Kusi? If you sell to a Kusi, Kusi with those, the famous Machlokas, Gerayos, Ger Emes, a big Machlokas and Tanayim, everybody agrees though that the Kusim would not really careful in the mitzvahs d'rabbanan and many interpretations of even mitzvahs d'oraisa, they didn't keep the same halachas that we did. So the halacha is for many ashailas, are they treated like a non-Jew or not? So until afterwards we saw that they're mamash Eved Kechavim, they were not like they're keeping Yiddishkeit at all, then we assumed that they're mamash like Yid, and that was much later though. So throughout the braisas, you'll always have the suffix. So what about a kusi? So now the Gemara says, okay, we had, like four or five different questions. Pashut miyam echada. We can at least answer one of them from this braisa, because the braisa says, beferish, ger toshav arei uke Oved Kechavim. Selling a slave to a ger toshav is like selling to a non-Jew, and one who sells a slave to ger toshav is obligated to free him. So we at least have that answer. Kusi v'yisrael mumar. So that's a machlokas, the Gemara says. Now, amr like Oved Kechavim. Some say it's like an Oved Kechavim, amr like Yisrael, or some say it's like a Jew. So we see from over here that it would machlokas about that case. So the Gemara wonders, "Bami name Rabbi Ami Eved Sheipil Atzmo Legaisus." If a slave non-Jewish robbers who were coming along, and he just basically put his hands up and went to them. Then Rabbi Achol Otzion, his master, cannot remove him from their control. Lo bedinin esavolidim el kochavim. He can't have Jewish people are out of control. Courts don't have jurisdiction over this, and neither do even the non-Jewish ones because they're people who are like bandits, they're robbers. So what's the lacha? May the adam take the money for the slave from them, that they're refusing to return it to the slave. So the question of the adon should be forbidden to accept money from them, since doing so he would be selling them to them, or is it okay if they say, okay, we'll give you $100 and get away from us? Is that allowed or not? If he has no way to get it back anyway. So is that like you're helping the situation of him being with these bandits and obviously he's not going to keep mitzvos or not? So go look at your mishnayos and your braces to see maybe you can bring a raya for bring a case or not. So the Gemara says, Nafak, he was chazering a lot. Doc actually found the braisa that seems to be approved. Decided the braisa of the following. Someone sells his house in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew. Dama vasur, the money received for that house is asur. The Torah, midoraisa, there's an isur deraisa of lo sechanim, which the Gemara learns out in Avodah Zarah, that there is an isur deraisa of lo sechanim chanaya bekarkam. Do not sell land to them. This is one of the major issues with the Heter Mechira idea, is that you're not allowed to sell the land to the non-Jews. So how are you allowed to avoid it, that issue? And that is discussed. Again, obviously there's Gedolei Olam. We took a Chod inspector of Cook who supported. Obviously they knew these problems when coming up with it. And the sale, I think it was only if it's a sale for a year, that's still considered something which is a sale that's not an issue derisa of losachanim, but it's also not a problem that that's really fully theirs for Shemitah. Not exactly. Obviously, the Chazon Ish was famously very opposed to the whole thing. That the whole thing was a harama, and it's totally not allowed. Anyway, Damas Rav Erud Chacham Shanas is basically Shel Yisrael. Over Chachamim who just decided to take over a Jewish house. It's very scary that this existed, and up until 100 years ago, this was like commonplace all throughout Europe and everywhere else. So the owner, the Jew, cannot remove this non-Jew. So nobody is willing to accept the Jewish plea. Mutar litol es damav. Well, even have it nowadays, by the way. In Poland, they took away all the Jewish property, and they don't give any of it back. Namish rishus. So, okay. Anyway, nothing changes. Esav, son of Yaakov, they don't like us. Mutar litol es damav. He is permitted to take the money for the house from the Ovid Kechavim. Kosef Malabar Kodosh Shalahem. And the Jew may write the sale for the Ovid Kechavim, bring it to the court for certification. Because the Jew is like the one who's rescuing it from their hands. And therefore, the Brisa is teaching us that the Chavim permitted the Jew to have it signed and certified by Ovid Kechavim in order to get at least compensation for the stolen house. So this is, even in Eretz Yisrael, this is about Eretz Yisrael, that's the whole point of Lo Sechanan, that this would at least be mutter. So the Gemara says, Dilma hani milet bias. But so then we see over here that accepting money for the property as token is not iser, even though normally it's usher to sell that property. That's the whole raya. So we want to say the same thing by the Eved. So the Gemara says, no, Dilma hani milet bias. Maybe that halacha is only regards to a house. They gave into Lo Sagile below bias, because the person cannot live without a house. Right? You need a place to live. That's a pasha. That's like olive base. The person needs a house. Lo Aselis Buna is not going. He's not going to come to sell to an Ovid Kechavim b'mezin in a different circumstance. So therefore, letting him have this kula is not going to lead to a further violation at a point later to sell to a non-Jew. In general, the people don't want to sell their houses to non-Jews, so that's not something that we have to be concerned about. However, a person can live without a slave, which is a luxury to have a slave. So perhaps we'd be concerned that he will come to sell a slave to a non-Jew if he wants a good money for it. And he wouldn't want to get compensation, and that would be something which would lead to them doing it b'mezid, so therefore there's no proof from the Braisa. So the Gemara says, although maybe there's no concern that we'll come to sell a slave to an Oved Gechavim intentionally, even if we permit him to have that, so then the Braisa's ruling about a house would also apply to our case. Maybe that's a good raya. So the Gemara says, maybe the second side is that really there is a good raya. So the Gemara says, Shalach lu Rabbi Ami, Mini Abraham Ranasan, from me, Abraham Ranasan said, Torah Yotza l'chol Yisrael, that the Torah should go to all of Klal Yisrael. Eved she'epil atzma l'gaisus. If a slave gave himself up to these robbers, the in rabba lechol atzil lo b'din yisrael v'lo b'din ha'kachavim, the lach is mutar litol es dama. The adon is permitted to take the money from them because he has no other way of getting them. The kosev malabar kosev of kachavim, and he may write the sale to bring it to non-Jews for certification. Neishu kimeitzum yadam, because he is just rescuing the money from their hands. There's no other way, no other options, and that would be okay. The person sells his slave to a non-Jew who is over the Kochavim. We penalize him to make him buy it back even 100 times his value. So he sold him, well, that's a lot of money, right? He sold him for $1, you have to pay him back 100. That's crazy, it's 100 times the value. So the Gemara wonders, is that an exaggeration or not? Dafka loved that, it's really 100 times the value. We make him pay that much, or maybe it just meant the Guzmal, 10, 20 times. So there's a similar halacha that's usher in terms of the fact that something that's usher to sell to non-Jews. It's usher to sell them large animals because we're afraid that it's going to violate Shabbos because a Jew is usher to have his animals work for him on Shabbos. So if we're permitted to sell to the non-Jew, so you come to lend or rent it to him and it's really yours, and then he's going to be working that animal, and that would be an iser deraisa for him. You'll make it carry, you make it with all the malachas, that would be the mechamer, other things, and that would be an iser deraisa on your end of your animal. Right? To have your animals do malachas is an iser deraisa for you as well. So the halacha is kosim also ad asar b'damei. We penalize him only 10 times. So maybe that's what we mean over here. The Gemara is assuming that it would be the same halacha, that just like selling the slaves is asar midaraisa, but are leading to an isar daraisa, so to here, it would be potentially leading to an isar daraisa, and it would be 10 times, not 100 times. The Gemara says, no, maybe Eved is actually worse. Dol mashani Eved, it really should be 100 times. And it's more chamar. Why? They call yoma v'yoma mafkim in mitzvos. Every day you're removing him from doing mitzvos. He's violating isurim daraisa left and right. But every single day that he's with us over Kochavim, so therefore it is something that is more chamar as opposed to the second case, which only maybe he's not necessarily going to work him on an Isser Malacha Deraisa. He might, likely, but it's not something that's 100% going to happen, as opposed to being with Ovid Kochavim is basically an Umdun Amuchach. It's almost basically 100% that would be something that we assume that the Goy would in fact be doing to you. That's what we're assuming. So the Gemara says, Or another version of it is actually very different. The Gemara says, here, when you sell it to a non-Jew, you have to pay 10 times the slave's value. So the Gemara says, Davko lav davka. So Rabbi Shua's halacha of 10 times, that is that exact or not? So that you have to pay 10 times or not? So the Gemara says, Tashma damar Rishalak. Maybe, as Rashi points out, that maybe over here, when it comes to paying 10 times the amount, that was just the normal example, because it would never be that a person would make you pay more than that amount on his, and he doesn't know that you need it back, he would never charge you more than 10 times the amount, even if you really wanted that item, but sometimes he would, maybe, so then you'd have to pay even more than 10 times. That's what Rashi points out. So the Gemara says, Toshma, we can bring a proof to Amar Shlakish. Shlakish says, HaMocher, Behem HaGasel Ovid Gechavim, Kontzino, Soad Mea Bita Mea. We see, you have to pay 100 times its value. 100 times its value when you are selling something. And so we see that you have to, no matter what, you have to get it back. So we see the same thing should be by the sale. And it didn't mean dafka 10 times. The Gemara says, shiny evet, sorry. A shiny evet and a slave is different to a case of an animal. Because the slave does not return to the possession of the original owner after he buys it back. So we require the adon to free the slave. So since the buyer does not get possession of it, maybe it's possible that chachamim weren't as machmir about it to pay more than 10 times the value, as opposed to the animal, which you are getting the benefit from. So maybe they will make you pay even as much as 100 times the value. So Gemara says, Ela behema mai taima. But what's the reason that we should severely penalize him so much when it comes to the case of an animal? Mishum dehadrele, because the animal is returning to him. Why does that make us penalize him more? Why double, triple, meaning why 10 times the value just because you're getting the animal back? They should pay 100 times the value. That's very difficult to understand. So Gemara says, Ella, Evan Milsa de lo Shchicha. Rather, the sale of a slave to a non-Jew is something which doesn't really happen. Therefore, Milsa de lo Shchicha lo Gozer Rabbanan. That the Rabbanan penalized someone who sells the behema, requiring to buy up to 10 times, because that's much more common and they really didn't want this to happen. But when it comes to an Adon who sells his Eved Knaini to a non-Jew, which is something which is much less common, so we're not gozer, that it should be up to 100 times. Right? 10 times is enough, and therefore it's much less common that we don't have to make such an extreme halacha and takana. Now the Gemara continues. Boy mine Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbi Asi, machar abda umes, if you sold his slave to a non-Jew and then he dies. So the halacha is interesting. Maushi kanzus banav acharav. Should we impose that penalty on the surviving children who are the ones who inherit the father, and therefore they are required from the father's estate to buy back the slave? So the Gemara says, "Imtim to lamar taram ozen b'chara meis kanzu lebanav acharav." So this is going to be a shaila when it comes to. There's a case of a kohen, right? We have a kohen who. He gets a bechor, and Kohanim many times were choshesh, because when it comes to a bechor that doesn't have a mum, the Kohen has to bring it to the base of Mikdash and eat it as kachim kalim, right? The bechor v'maiser pesach kachim kalim, that we say every day in Ezum Mekoman. So if the animal has a mum, though, the Kohen just sheps it and he just eats it outside. So there was a lot more incentive for a Kohen to create the blemish. Unfortunately, that's what Kohanim are nechshon on that sometimes. So so the halacha is, what about if you have a Kohen who doesn't have purpose? He did. He made it a mum. So the shaila is that Rabbanan also, and then he dies before he has a chance to have any anah from it. So the Gemara has a machlokas over there in Bechoros. The Gemara has a machlokas whether or not the Chachamim penalized the Kohen's son as well and answered him from eating the animal on basis of its father's actions or not. So according to the Manda Amar, that's what we're saying. According to the Manda Amar, says that we do force the son. Even the son's not allowed to eat that animal. So maybe the Gemara points out Mishum the Isur Dereisi that the father had violated. The pasuk says Kol Mum Lo Yebo, which we learn out. The Gemara Bechoros tells us that there's an Isur Dereisi to create that mum in the Bechor. So the father violated an Isur Dereisi. That's why we don't let the son have enough from the animal. Aval Hacha Isur Derbanan. But here the father only violated an Isur Derbanan by selling him to a non-Jew. It does not say anywhere in the Torah that there's an Isser to sell him to a non-Jew. And it's possible that we didn't go so far as assuming as that we would we'd penalize the children as well. Or, the Gemara says, maybe you can bring another raya, kevan melachta b'moed u'meis. It's in case of someone, we have a lacha that is an Isser, that's a shayla, Gemara already shayla and Rishonim on a paskin, if it's an Isser deraisa or an Isser derabanan to do melacha an chalamoed. Things that aren't davar avid, let's say. So if it is a davar avid, then obviously that's an example, a classic example of something that's going to cause you a financial loss in terms of something that came up that you weren't assuming was going to come up, and then if you don't take care of it, it's going to create a major loss. So then it's going to be mutter. So the example of that the Gemara brings in Moikat, and the famous example is that if you have wine and you're in the middle of like trying to take care of it, and if you stop in the middle right now, you didn't realize that it was about to be whatever it was, you didn't come to the yontif, you didn't expect it to be like that, then you are allowed to just finish it even on Chol Hamoed, because that is a davar avid. However, if you scheduled your work specifically, this is a good time to make a business meeting. So obviously, that would be a problem, and that's kibbutz malacha d'mavoid, which we have the halacha that it's aser for him to perform that malacha. And even if you did, they penalized you by not even by that whatever you have as your finished product is going to be aser to have a nafra from. So the Gemara says, when it comes to kibbutz malacha d'mavoid, umeis lo kantzu macharav. The rabbanon over there did not penalize his son. Obviously violated an isser, but they didn't penalize his son to not have enough from that item that he had made, that his father had made. Mishum de lo aved isura, because the father did not aved isura, he didn't do the work properly, he didn't actually violate an isser, since he died before the malach, meaning because the son finished it. That's the shayla over there, sorry. Can the son finish over there? Hachamai, but what would be the lach over here where the father violated the Isra Rabbanan against selling one slave? He actually did the Isra. Lididei Kansur Rabbanan, Vahaleisei, Odilma Limamone Kansur Rabbanan, Vahaisa. Is it Mamash Chetzagar over here? Is it on the gavra, is it on the guy, and therefore when he dies, the item is still fine, or no, is the item that he violated the isser for, and so therefore when it comes to the slave, that would be the shayla. The slave is the thing that was violated. So here, should we assume that would be a problem or not? So the Gemara says, Amar Lei, Rav Asi responded to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Tinisua, we actually learned this answer. We could bring a raya from the Mishnah. Mishnah Shvius talks about a sada shenizkavtza b'shvius, if a field was cleared up on Shvius from the removing the thorns, and that would be an Isser Derabanan. That would be the Rabbanan made a takana not to allow that. So the Gemara says, Tizra lemotzei Shvius. Halacha is allowed to be planted on after Shvius. You do not penalize the owner and prohibit him from planting the field the next year because he violated an Isser Derabanan of just clearing it out from the thorns. That's an Isser Derabanan. However, if he's Naitvaya, if he fertilized it directly, or he put his animals in a way that is creating to fertilize it on Shvius, that is an Isser Deraisa. And therefore, Lo Sizra Lamotze Shvius, you're not allowed to even plant on your mamish, your mamish plowing and doing things that are Isra Malacha Deraisa on Shvius, and therefore Motze Shvius is also Aser. Ramar Yosef Rav Chanina, Naktinan, we have a Masorah, that Heitiva Umeis, that if one fertilizes a field on Shvius and then he dies, Binozar, his son, is allowed to do it after Shvius. So what do we see beferish? Alma ledidei kanser abanan. We see from this halacha that the rabbanan they only on his action. Livrei lo kanser abanan, but the rabbanan did not penalize his son. So therefore, we learn from over here the rabbanan did not penalize the son of the field's owner. So too, they not penalize the son who sells his son to an oved kochavim. So that's what we could learn from the cases over here. Just be pointed out though, when it comes to the case of the b'chor, we seem to say we had a tzad that we do punish the son. Okay, either way, Amar Baye Naktinan, Timei Taros Shel Chaveros Umeis. What happens if a person specifically said that the taros of his friend were tamei, and then he died? Lo Kanser Abanan Bano Acharav. That there, they do not penalize the son to require him to pay. That's what's called a Hezek Shein Nikar. You create it because really the food is totally fine, but you're saying that it's Isser for him to eat. So that is the food is still right there. It's a perfectly good apple. So you didn't actually take his apple and throw it, and throw it in the mud and ruin it. But you created it that he can't eat it. So the Gemara says, "My time," because that's hezek shein nikar lo shmei hezek. Unrecognizable damage is not really damage in halacha of deraisa. So kanser derabanan, it's only knas derabanan to punish the guy to make him pay for hezek shein nikar. On level deraisa, that's not called nezek. So lididei kanser derabanan. So there, derabanan only penalized him. However, librei lo kanser derabanan. But to his child, they did not penalize him. He inherits the estate. So now the Mishnah continues. Ola chutzaretz, or if the Adon sold him, his slave, to someone who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael, the slave has to be freed. Tana Rabbana, we learn in a Braisa, Amocher Avda L'chutz La'aretz. If someone sells his slave to someone who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael, Yatzad L'cheiros, the slave goes free. Utzarach Yitzchecher, however you do need to get a Yitzchecher, that's what we discussed earlier. So Mirabo Sheini, from his second Adon, from the purchaser, so you need there, the Gemara explains we're going to actually see that tomorrow, to penalize the purchaser, that the seller, we require the purchaser to feed the slave, but not permit him to return it to the seller. Okay? Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, pa'amim yatzah, pa'amim lo yatzah. It depends. Sometimes he goes free, sometimes he doesn't go free. Says Rabbi Gamliel, Shimon ben Gamliel, what is the case? Ketzad, amar ploni avdi macharti leploni antuchi. If the seller said in his, I have sold my slave to so-and-so in antuchi, lo yatzah. Because antuchi is the name of a place. So the antuchi is just implying that you're planning on going there, and you're bringing him there, but it's possible that he wasn't planning on actually moving outside of Eretz Yisrael. Antuchi shem antuchi. However, if he said, to the Antuchi of Antuchia, that implies that he's bringing him there and not bringing him, back, and therefore we penalize him by forcing him to free that slave. Va'atanya, but v'kasher v'shimon ben Gamliel, the Brisa says, mechartil l'antuchi, someone says, I sold him to Antuchi, yatza, the slave goes out, l'antuchi asher b'lud, he says, Antuchi, which is in Lud, it's a town in Eretz Yisrael, Lud in Eretz Yisrael, lo yatza, the slave does not go out for free. So according to this Brisa, the lam antuchi does not imply that he's bringing him outside of Chutzars necessarily. So this is against the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So the Gemara answers, lo kasha, no, that's not a kasha, ha de is le base of Eretz Yisrael. The first halacha of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is referring to Antuchi who owned a house in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel did not penalize him. And the halacha of the second brisa, according to Antuchi, said only has a temporary land in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, the Tana of the brisa penalized the purchaser if it did not state that he was living in Eretz Yisrael. That's the shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. We could assume that he was planning on bringing him outside of Eretz Yisrael. So that's on Akasha. By Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah said the following. Ben Bavel Shanasa Isha of Eretz Yisrael. If a Ben Bavel, who married a woman outside of Eretz Yisrael, Shanasa Isha from Eretz Yisrael, Vechnisa Lavadim Vashvachos. She brought him in the dowry, she brought him in Nichsei. There's two types of things that a woman brings in. There's Nichsei Tzon and Barzel, Nichsei Malog. Nichsei Malog is just like she brings him a field. The husband just gets to have the payros of the field, and that's it. It goes back to the wife, it's fully the wife's. He's just kind of having her now while they're married. Then there was Nichsei Tzon and Barzel. Tzon and Barzel literally is property which is like iron sheet. Why? Because they're preserved for the woman. Meaning that the value is written down in the ksuba. The value, okay, she brought an eved worth $1,000. So no matter what happens to eved, he ages, he's old, whatever it is, he's not worth $1,000. The husband still has to give $1,000 back to the woman at the end if he divorces her or if he dies in the ksuba. So daito lachser, and his intention is to return to Bavel. So ma, what is the lacha? Is the woman's marriage to that is like the sale of her slaves, and therefore we require the husband to free them or not? Is she really the owner or not? So the Gemara points out, Tibay l'man damar hadin ima, Tibay l'man damar hadin imo. It would be a shayla according to both man damars of hadin ima, hadin imo. What's a very vague statement? What is hadin imo or hadin ima? This is there's a machlokas about when she's demanding the return of her dowry when they divorce, let's say. So we point out the Eved. He wrote down it's worth $1,000. So this Eved is now, let's say he's worth either more or less, whatever the numbers play out. Let's assume he's less for the purpose of argument's sake. He's worth $500 now, but he wrote that he's obligated to pay $1,000. But he, for whatever reason, he loves this Eved. He was their Eved that they had for all this time. He wants to keep him. He says, I'll give you the $1,000 and I'm not giving you back the Eved. And she demands, she wants the Eved. So there's a machlokas in Ksubis, in land over there, Tzadiks. The machlokas over there in Ksubis about what is the halacha. So one Madamar says the halacha is with the woman, she's right when she demands it, and therefore, the halacha comes out is adinima, that she is the correct, and she can demand the evet. So it's really hers. And also the one who says that he wins and he's just giving the monetary amount, also that would be the shaila here as well. So how does the Gemara fleshes out? How does this work? Now I understand how it's a question according to the one who says that the halacha is with the woman. Since it's really the woman's, the property is really always good as hers, meaning that Eved is always hers, because she can always demand that specific Eved back. And it's not the Adon. So if he's going back to Bavel, she could argue, I live in Eretz Yisrael, and he's going back to Bavel. It's really mine, and I want to keep him, I don't have to free him. Or maybe, since he's allowed to use the produce while they're married, it's regarded as his property, and therefore when she takes him out of Eretz Yisrael, then he would be obligated to free him. And even you could ask the question when he wins, meaning that really was more like it's his property. Since the lach is like the man, it's property, and so too this is pashut like his property, you'd have to free him. Maybe the person does not acquire the dowry itself, even with regards to the tzad, and that's like it is kididadama rather. It's hers, and that's why we leave this as a teku. We're not sure how to answer this question. Amar Rabbi Abahu. The Gemara says, Rabbi Abahu said the following. Shana li Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan taught me the following halacha. Eved shiyotza acher rabbi l'suria. in a case where a slave that left Eretz Yisrael, voluntarily following his master to Syria, there his master sold him, so then the lach is yatzah lechirus. So then the rabbis are saying that the slave is like is that like the slave in Chutz La'aretz, right? We saw that that's a lacha. For that purpose, and he goes free. V'atanir b'chia ibed ischus. So b'chia says that the slave loses his rights when he willfully leaves Eretz Yisrael. He just comes with him. He doesn't sell him. He just comes with him there. So then, poshut that he loses the right to argue that he should be freed. So the answer is lo kasha. Kevin shadash rabba lachser. Rabbi Yochanan is speaking in a case where the slave actually planned. He just went on a vacation to Syria, even if he was going to work there for a year, but he planned on coming back. So then, if he sells him in that case, then he would be freed at that point. However, Kan Shein Rabbi Lachzer, what Rabbi Chiyah is talking about a case where his intent was not to return to Eretz Yisrael. So then obviously we would not require the purchaser to free the slave, because the slave willfully left with the guy, and then push it that he wouldn't have to free him. So the Gemara says Vatanya, and Vatanya is not usually Takasha, but here it's actually a proof. Vatanya Varetana, meaning it's a proof. In the Braisa, Yotza Eved Acha Rabba L'Suria. That's the Lacha. So the Gemara says Yotza, what do you mean? He has to go with him to Eretz Yisrael? No, Losa Gidil Anafik. What if he doesn't want to go? That's not Enakol Motzin. You don't can't force him to leave. Rather, Ella Yotza Eved Acha Rabba L'Suria. And then Machro Sham Rabbo, Im Dasar Balachzor Kofinoso. Im Dasar Balachzor Ein Kofinoso. Okay, so that's what we see from over there. Okay, Bezrem will pick up with Amar Rav Anan, Bezrem Hashem, in tomorrow's daf.